This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Come for another podcast, have you? We're ready when you are. Joy.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
A big thank you to our new dynamic drive time duo of Alex and Adam, and Mark there for the news. It's Worldwide Wave Time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight, it's a full house. You've got Dean.
G'day.
Damien.
Hi.
Paul.
Hello.
And myself, Matt. We are off to the happiest, one of the happiest countries in the world. Seriously, it is. The happy and beautifully mountainous nation in Central Asia of Bhutan.
Why is the local gay community in Bhutan so invisible?
How does the peaceful religion of Buddhism relate to the local gay community?
And what difference can a simple Facebook page created by a young man make to the country's LGBT community?
To learn about life in very happy Bhutan, tonight we are speaking with Karma Dupchen. He is the founder of the LGBT Bhutan Facebook page. And here's a taste of what's coming up.
They don't get the whole idea of homosexuality, you know. It's not because they hate the idea, but because the idea is alien. So someone who has no idea what LGBT is or, you know, what gay is, right, it's like telling someone, you know, that, you know what, oh, I'm going to get married to a chair, you know, because it's like unheard of, you know, it's crazy. It's not that a lot of people here are like totally against it. It's just that they're not informed. They have no idea what it is about. So they get a little freaked out.
We would love you to be a part of the show. So simply send us an SMS on 0427JOY949. Send us an email in the studio to onair@joy.org.au or live on Facebook at W3Joy for your questions or comments.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
More trouble at the Vatican this week. They've dismissed a priest from his post in the Holy See office after he told a newspaper he was gay with his boyfriend in tow and urged the Catholic Church to change its stance on homosexuality. Good luck with that. So Monsignor Christoph Karasama was removed from his position at the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the Vatican's doctrinal arm, where he'd worked since 2003. So he was a Polish theologian. He announced he was gay in a long interview with Italy's Corra della Sera newspaper, and soon after his dismissal, he was joined at a news conference by a Spanish partner and some other gay activists.
Now, some of our listeners out there may be like me and not understand what the Holy See is all about.
Why don't you explain it to us, Paul?
The Holy See basically is the central government of the church, and the Monsignor was working in basically the church law department.
Oh, well, they wouldn't have been too happy about him breaching every single one of them by having a hot, hunky Spanish partner.
And of course, the reason this has got such international coverage is not just that there's a gay priest and he's got a boyfriend, it's that it happened the day before the big consultation session of all the bishops to decide future doctrine, particularly around family, and homosexuality was on the agenda to discuss at that forum. So he timed it perfectly.
He knew how to steal that spotlight from Pope Francis, and they are not happy. So he suggested that a study be made of how many homosexuals work in the Vatican, and also said we can't continue showing contempt and offence towards homosexuals. So the church, on the other hand, have promptly sacked him, and unfortunately it's been a bit of an ongoing issue. as we all know.
Now, we've had a message on the Facebook page. So W3Joy, like us, and we'll send you news throughout the week. Here's a comment on this story. The Catholic Church never ceases to amaze me. A capable, hard-working man of faith admits he is in a loving, monogamous gay relationship, and the Vatican sacks him. Men of the cloth who rape and sexually assault children, on the other hand, are forgiven and moved on to the next parish.
Well, the Catholic Church teaches that homosexuality is not a sin, but that homosexual acts are.
So perhaps if you've got an opinion on this story, 0427JOY949 is the SMS, and onair@joy.org.au on email.
Just as a little side note to that, during the Vatican's, the Pope's visit to the US, there was supposed to be a famous meeting, or infamous probably, with Kim Davis, the Kentucky County clerk that won't sign any gay marriage certificates.
Of course, the meeting occurred, and she went into the media and proudly espoused and said that said the Pope was endorsing what she was doing.
Well, the Vatican has said otherwise. Yeah. They said that the Pope only had one real audience, which was in Washington, and that included a gay couple.
Well,
so who do we believe?
Not besties after all.
Now, we're sticking with the USA, where commissioners in a Tennessee county will vote on a proposal, get this, asking God, this is like a local council, okay, they're putting up a vote asking God to bypass them as he destroys America because of same-sex marriage.
Councils are so uppity. They just think, honestly, they think they're like the president or something. All they do is collect rubbish and sweep the streets.
Roads, rates and rubbish.
Don't even do that properly.
So how are they going to know that God has actually accepted the proposition?
They're probably concerned that when God smites them all, that he's going to leave a big mess that they're going to have to do something about, and they're going to have to raise rates and everyone will be upset.
No, it's more than that. They're concerned that they'll get smited as well.
Oh, that's
because
right.
Because they're doing ungodly things, letting gays marry.
I just love the name of it. It's the resolution condemning judicial tyranny and petitioning God's mercy.
And asks God to pass us by in his coming wrath and not destroy our county, as he did Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbouring cities. The resolution also says the county is begging his favour in light of the fact that we have been forced to comply and recognise that the state of Tennessee, like so many other God-fearing states, may have fallen prey to a lawless judiciary in legalising what God and the Bible expressly forbids. We are, yes, talking about same-sex marriage.
And particularly that they want to defend the moral standards of Tennessee.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that one and let you know if it passes and if the wrath comes down on Tennessee. Across to Poland now, where the president of Poland has declined to sign. He has vetoed the Gender Accordance Act, which was a really progressive law passed by both the country's lower and upper houses of parliament. The legislation is designed to make it easier for citizens to officially change their gender listed on their birth certificates and other such documents.
Previously, without this legislation, Poles who wanted to change their identity on their birth certificates had to sue their parents.
And this was considered to be a fait accompli, but he's basically...
He's had wide-ranging support. The European Union was really about to applaud Poland, but he's turned it around.
It's internal politics. He's formerly a member of the Conservative Opposition Party Law and Justice. How's that for a party name? And although he's given up his party membership to become president, he constantly and consistently supports his former party in the run-up to parliamentary elections on the 25th of October. So it's just a question of him appealing to constituents.
And this is the first piece of legislation he's refused to sign. But on the plus side, if you can see a plus side, the lower house can actually veto him.
In brief now, in Indonesia, two women have been arrested in Aceh province under Sharia law who were sitting together and hugging and therefore suspected of being lesbian.
Love it. In Russia, World Wide Wave's favourite homophobe, Vitaly Milonov, is setting up a group to save the international community from gays. Apparently it has about 12 members so far.
In Canada, an anti-gay parent group has pulled their children from a school protesting against sex education, claiming it's going to lead to mental disorders. Who for, the children or the parents?
Ugandan activist lesbian Kasha Nabagasira has been awarded Sweden's Right Livelihood Award, also known as the Alternative.
And critics are crying foul over the inclusion of 8 trans women on the Iranian women's soccer team. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
You're listening to Worldwide Wave, and that was Whitney Houston and Step by Step. And we are going to step you through LGBT life in Bhutan. And how's that for a link?
And we picked that particular song, or rather you picked that particular song, because Bhutan is just mountains, mountains, mountains.
And you just walk, walk, walk all over the place.
That's and it. Their LGBT community is on a journey and stepping up a mountain. And yeah, look, we can draw any parallels you like. That's Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So Bhutan, it's a landlocked country in southern Asia. The Himalayas form a part of this, so it's bordered by China and India are the biggest areas.
Their capital is Thimphu.
Thimphu.
Moving right along, Bhutan's landscape ranges from subtropical plains in the south to the subalpine Himalayan heights in the north, where some peaks exceed 7,000 metres. And if you have ever played Far Cry 2, and I know we have a lot of gamer listeners out there, basically the last half of Far Cry 2, which is one of the most popular games of all time, looks exactly like Bhutan.
Or you could just take a plane and go visit.
Or you could look it up on Google. And trust me, it is gorgeous.
They only have one international airport, so yeah. They have a population of 770,000, roughly, in 2015. And interestingly enough, they only got television in 1999.
And the internet. So they're actually one of the last countries in the world to introduce television. And as we'll hear tonight, the internet is making a very big difference in this Buddhist-dominated country. Now, the culture does not share our typical Western views of heterosexuality and homosexuality. Indeed, some people actually refer this to as an openly bisexual society, although there's a bit of contention. And as we learn tonight, it's probably not open's probably not quite the word.
No, not quite 100% accurate. So homosexuality is illegal in Bhutan, and the rights of LGBT people are not recognised by law. Technically, it's punishable by a prison sentence of between 1 month and up to less than 1 year, but there are no reported cases of anyone ever being charged with this misdemeanour. You know, which is not uncommon with many of the countries we've talked about on Worldwide Wave.
And the Bhutan Observer, which is one of the country's main weekly newspapers, has written many articles on LGBT issues. And they, in fact, generate a lot of comments from the community. However, the government-supported newspaper refuses to bring in any sorts of stories on this topic.
Buddhism is their main religion in the country. And Buddhism, unlike other traditional religions, does not condemn homosexuality. It is far more tolerant. And in fact, one of the prominent leaders of Buddhism has stated that sexual orientation has nothing to do with reaching enlightenment.
Now, public opinion, it's a little hard to gauge, but there was a student, an exchange student, that was visiting Bhutan, and they did a survey, 150 participants, and it showed 60% of respondents believe that homosexuality is immoral. However, 50% believe that homosexuality should be accepted and homosexuals be protected from discrimination and harm.
And women are more likely than men to be open about their sexual orientation.
As you would expect from a country where it is illegal, Bhutan does not have any form of legal recognition for same-sex couples.
However, and very unusually, men who have sex with men are allowed to donate blood. That's the facts.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, starting a Facebook page might not be a huge milestone for some of our listeners, but when you are in a country where the LGBT community is invisible and you've only had the internet for, 15 years, this kind of coming out is quite significant. We spoke with Karma Dupchin. He was the founder, very young founder, of the LGBT Bhutan Facebook page. And we asked him what life was like for him as a young gay person in Bhutan.
I'd say it's quite an alienating experience, you know, because, like, we do not have any role models over here. We do not have a gay culture. We do not have any kind of LGBT scene or any LGBT trace out in public that, like, people can relate to, or, like, young gay kids or LGBT kids can, like, relate to or feel like they're a part of something, you know?
And social media, you've chosen Facebook to create the group. What role mm-hmm. does that play in raising acceptance for LGBT people?
Well, number one, the topmost reason being that it is the fastest means of reaching out to as many people as possible, right? Number two, I want to target the younger generation, and most of the younger people are people my age and people younger to me. They're all really active on social media. So that was my core focus. Because the ones that are already above us, people from old generation, you know, it's really hard to, like, change their minds. But what we can do is, like, shape and mold the younger people's minds, you know, like, have them exposed to some of the things that they need to be exposed to so that they do not turn out with a negative mind or a negative edge in their mentality or their personality. So that was one of the reasons why I chose social media. And also because the whole idea of reaching a lot of people, and also because a lot of gay people here remain anonymous, you know. So I feel like those people who want to remain anonymous can still do so, but yet have the chance to access to some of the information that we relate to them, you know. They don't have to, like, come up personally or, like, reveal themselves. They can, like, access our Facebook page, any information, you know, like, even the platforms while they're being anonymous. So I think that was one of the reasons that I chose Facebook.
Karma, one of the things you do is share stories of gay people in other Asian countries. Why is that important to you?
I feel like leading by example is very important. So sharing stories of other countries, especially when it comes to neighboring countries, neighboring South Asian countries, where a lot of our cultures are similar, and though they are, like, quite far ahead of us in terms of the LGBT movement or in terms of being open about certain things in the society, I feel like that helps, most importantly, that kind of helps open eyes to the underlying LGBT community who are mostly in hiding or in the closet, like, so that they can, like, feel like, hey, you know what, there is a way out, there is a possibility that, you know, maybe not now, but, like, maybe in, like, the next 10, 15 years, you know, who knows, we may be able to have, like, a vibrant, accepting, open society. We may have, like, gay couples, you know. We may have, like, open gay youth. So I feel like sharing stories from, like, especially neighboring countries, South Asian neighboring countries, where a lot of our culture, everything is similar, I feel like they can have, like, a first row seat to, like, seeing that, yes, it is possible.
Did you know Joy Audio Production Services can help you with your audio recording needs, no matter what the task at hand? We have a way to support you and your business. We can produce radio-style interviews for your website, on-hold greetings, podcasts, voiceovers for video, and more. Call Joy's production manager, Jason, on 1-300-569-949 or email production@joy.org.au. That's 1-300-569-949. Joy Audio Production Services, commercial-grade audio quality at community radio rates.
This is Samuel from Kenya on Wild Wide Wave.
It's Joy 94.9's International News and Current Affairs show. We'd love to hear your messages tonight. 0427-JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au is the way to get into the studio.
And don't forget Facebook.
That's right, W3JOY. Now, Karma was speaking about the importance of sharing positive LGBT stories from other Asian countries so that people can see what can be achieved. And we asked him about what stories from inside Bhutan have been shared on his Facebook page.
Well, being very honest, there haven't been a lot of people sharing their personal stories, especially to me. But because that is a quite sensitive subject, there haven't been a lot of personal stories shared by individuals, but I do try to talk to a lot of people. Like, a lot of gay people here are, like, surprised to, like, see me, like, you know, being open, have my pictures out, like, talking about this openly, you know. So they do take a step back, and they're, like, they're amazed, and they try to talk to me. And ask me how it feels, like, am I not scared, or, like, have you faced any consequences. And I always tell them, you know, I haven't faced anything. Like, just the biggest obstacle in you coming out is yourself, right? If you can get over yourself, then I don't think, I always tell them there's nothing to fear, you know, like no one else is going to like say anything or do anything to you as long as you do not say or do anything to yourself. So yeah, when it comes to personal stories from within the country, I haven't had a lot because we haven't had a lot of instances because the community is still mainly underground, almost non-existent. We do not have a culture here. We do not have a lot of gatherings. The sharing of stories and information doesn't happen that often unless it's like within like social friends or like people who know each other quite well.
Karma, the LGBT community appears to be fairly invisible in Bhutan. Is there any public expose of gay people in the media at all?
As of now, none. I would say the situation here is almost like don't ask, don't tell. Of course, it's there, right? But then the thing is just do not acknowledge its presence. But then we've had a lot of recent revelations. I believe so. It was earlier this year. We had one of our gay men, a fellow person from our community, come out openly on national television, Pasang Doji. So yeah, that was a groundbreaking event because like he personally came up and gave like a live interview. So like he did answer a lot of questions, a lot of confusions, and he cleared out a lot of things. And apart from that, we haven't had proper recognition of our existence, which I think needs to be done, because unless you address or acknowledge an issue, no one is ever going to be able to come up with a solution. If you're going to pretend that is not there, then how are you going to solve it?
Now, within Bhutan, the main religion is Buddhism, and Buddhism doesn't actually condemn homosexuality. Is there any support from within the religious community to be more inclusive of LGBT people?
I don't know. Personally, I'm not a very religious person. I'm more a sort of agnostic, right? So being agnostic, I a lot of people that surround me are pretty, you know, are pretty cool. And yes, as we are Buddhist at the end of the day. So we do follow the middle path. And I would say the religious community has been very, like, I'd say on the fence. They haven't been, like, really pro-LGBT or anti. And yeah, I really don't think the Bhutanese people anti-LGBT or like, I don't think they would like discriminate. So I do think there would be like this a slight hiccup, this slight issue with adjustment with the whole idea. And yeah, apart from that, personally, I haven't like noticed any revelations from the religious community. But then again, I'd have to point out that we haven't had any kind of significant recognition, you know, of our existence, especially in the media or like on a social scale.
How do families react if they have a son or a daughter that comes out as gay?
Oh yeah, I think that would totally depend on the mentality of the family. As in, like in our country, we do have a couple of people like where parents themselves are pretty well educated, and then like they've studied outside, so they've grown up with this with a very good mentality. They've been exposed to so many things. So I feel like people like them, they're not going to take it badly. But a lot of people do take a step back because they don't get the whole idea of homosexuality, you know, or being gay or like, you know, being transgender. It's not because they hate the idea, but because the idea is alien. Like the easiest way I like to explain is for someone who has no idea what LGBT is or, you know, what gay is, right? It's like telling someone, you know, that, you know what, oh, I'm going to get married to a chair, you know, because it's like unheard of, you know, it's crazy. It's not that a lot of people here are like totally against it. It's just that they're not informed. They have no idea what it is about. So they get a little freaked out. But after that initial phase of, you know, tiny freak out moment, I feel like things fall into place and they adjust very easily.
And what about your personal story? Are your family supportive of you?
Yeah, they are. They're very supportive. Like, my parents are actually pretty, I wouldn't say laid back, but they're pretty old-fashioned. It did take a little while for them to, like, get it, but I feel like after some time, it just doesn't matter, you know, as long as you do good in life, as long as you work hard, as long as you, like, strive to be a better person, right? I feel like that side of you, your sexuality, just doesn't really make a huge part of who you are and doesn't have such a huge impact on your relationship with your parents and your family, you know? So, yeah, I feel like my family's been pretty good.
That's Karma, the founder of LGBT Bhutan Facebook page, speaking about his personal journey with his family. Like telling people you were going to marry a chair.
Yeah,
that's priceless.
It was hard not to laugh at that point in the interview. That was a great line.
That is great. And it just really puts it in perspective. I mean, in Australia, we're fighting for same-sex marriage and, you know, there's people for and against. There's dialogue. Starting that dialogue with somebody who doesn't have a concept of homosexuality because they're not seeing it anywhere in society and they're not talking about it, that's a challenge.
Or even if someone who is aware of homosexuality, for example, one pundit has been roundly mocked in the United States recently for saying that why not let people marry a lawnmower?
Because you'd get cut all the time in sex or something.
Well, yes, but, you know, he's virulently anti-gay, so there you go.
The importance of family. So in a lot of Asian cultures, family is really quite strong. But I got the sense from Karma that there, as much as they're, he was sort of saying, you know, it might be a hiccup, they might be a bit freaked out, but they kind of work through it. So is it just much more of an education process?
Well, he just mentioned that the more educated of them, the families, the ones that where their relatives have been outside the country, they're far more accepting from his experience.
Well, one of the first opinion polls in Bhutan carried out on homosexuality resulted in the following responses. 60% of respondents believe that homosexuality is immoral, and 50% believe that homosexuality should be accepted and homosexuals protected from discrimination and harm. So a bit of overlap there with the responses.
So but there's 10% that are either confused or they're not happy about it, but they see that it's going to come.
Yeah, they think it's immoral, but they also think that it doesn't necessarily mean that it shouldn't be permitted. So there's a bit of back and forth. I wonder if the issue is that, like you were saying, more people just aren't that aware of it. It doesn't seem to have that public presence that it does in other countries.
He also mentioned, when we were talking about that issue of sharing personal stories within Bhutan, and he was saying that that really isn't happening, even through the Facebook page, people are too scared or too shy. But he also said there's not a lot of gatherings. So in in a lot of countries in Australia here where there are pride events, across Asia, the Pink Dot movement has been gathering a lot of momentum. I kind of get that feeling that a Pink Dot in Bhutan would actually be quite supported.
I'm just wondering how much of the importance of social media and the fact that it was only introduced, well, the internet was only introduced 15 years ago. So they've got 15 years of experience of using social media, whereas in the Pink Dot example, that's in countries that are well advanced in social media and using modern ways of communicating. Be interested to know when they introduced mobile phones or if they have mobile phones in Bhutan.
We spoke to them on a mobile phone, so.
Yeah, they definitely have those.
They definitely have those. Karma took his inspiration for this from the It Gets Better campaign, which is the American-based campaign. And lots of videos of people telling their story about, it's hard at first, but
it's a youth-based project to encourage people and to help them come out. And we've actually played, there's a song, several songs that have come out of that, and we played them on Joy here on this show.
And Karma has also, I guess, being one of the very few voices that is speaking up, LGBT activists and groups looking to engage with the LGBT community are approaching him now. He actually attended a UNDP, United Nations Development Programme Forum, a regional dialogue on health in the Asia-Pacific region. And basically, he's this young guy, he's now 23, but he started this a few years back, I think he was in his late teens, has been representing Bhutan and starting to talk and network with other activists. And he made the comment that when he came back, he had a lot more confidence to do what he was doing. So I think that regional sharing, and he touched on it there as well, sharing the stories of the other Asian communities, which he thinks that his local community will respond to, and I'm sure they will, is a really powerful tool to help them along.
It's interesting that homosexuality is still seen as more of a taboo subject in Bhutan, and it's difficult to get that conversation going. So it's great that he's actually managed to get it out there and actually get the stories coming out.
And a message has come in on 0427JOY949 from 317. Thanks for your message. There is also middle-class guilt that applies with some parents too. I accept homosexuality, but not with my children, as I know the struggles they will face as a result. It's complex. It is indeed complex. I think it would be even more complex in a country like Bhutan where the concept is still quite foreign. The other complexity for Bhutan is that, according to law, homosexuality or same-sex relations are illegal, punishable by up to a year in jail. But it's never been, there don't seem to be any records of it being enforced. Is that just something, what impact do you think that has on the local LGBT community?
Well, they might be concerned about poking the beehive.
What do you mean by that one?
Well, stirring up a hornet's nest. You know, I mean, they're concerned that there could be some concern that if they do start agitating for change, that maybe these laws will start to be enforced.
I'm just wondering if it's whether it has more effect on the family and the parents who are more established and know about the law. I just remember the story we did on India where the law kept flipping and the parents were getting concerned about what was going to happen to their children.
If they had to go back into the closet. Yeah. One of the members of Parliament, Sangay Kundu, with time, as society progresses and thoughts broaden, homosexuality may need to be revisited. Very uncommittal, but I guess that's a start. You're on World Wide Wave, Joy's International News and Current Affairs show, and we've got more with Karma coming right up.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 and World Wide Wave, and that was Vanessa Amorosi and Rise Up.
Another message in from 317, an insightful discussion as always. Thank you. And we do love messages. We love... Can I say that louder and better? Love.
On Joy, we do love those.
On here, Joy 94.9, we love messages.
0427, Joy 949, or on air at joy.org.au. We've been talking a lot about Facebook tonight. We should mention our Facebook page, and throughout the week, because we posted a story and it went crackers. It's a story out of Africa on a male beauty contest in the Sahara Desert. And the images in this post, we're actually reposting it right now because it was so popular. Just stunning. Stunning. So go to W3Joy on Facebook, like us, and we'll send you news throughout the week. We had a comment on there from Sonia saying gender stereotypes are Eurocentric concepts. Other countries don't necessarily apply such gender norms.
We had more than 500 people engage with that post. It just went off like a frog in a sock.
Love it. Had a few likes in for that one already, actually. Now, Angel and Peter, thanks for those as well. We've been speaking tonight with our guest, Karma, from Bhutan, and he started the Facebook page LGBT Bhutan. Some countries throughout Asia are more accepting of transgender people than they are of gays or lesbians. And we asked Karma how transgender people are viewed in Bhutanese society.
Oh, transgender people. Now, this would be my personal opinion alone. A lot of the transgender people here, they do not have access to hormones. They do not have access to surgery. So obviously, it becomes quite obvious that, yes, it's a man in women's clothing. And so the men here, basically the people here, they either take it in a very comical way or they're rather amused, you know, like, oh, what is this, you know? They almost start to, like, exclude them out of the social ring, you know? Almost they're not a part of society. That kind of makes it easier for them to view them as something beneath themselves. Something, you know, so something like almost like an endangered, you know, creature or like, I don't know, like a circus cat. That makes it easier for them to view it that way. And what I've noticed is a lot of people here are not well informed. So obviously they're mostly curious, you know. Oh, transgender. Do you have a male genitalia or a female genitalia, or do you have both? You know, that is one of the first questions that pops up in people's minds whenever transgender issues come up. So I feel like the people, a lot of, especially the middle-class people here, are fairly amused with transgender people. But I do feel like, because we are a Buddhist country, there is a certain sort of acceptance, not acceptance, but like a certain way, you know, transgender people get by. Because at the end of the day, like, they're picking one side, right? They're picking one side, as in they're transforming from, like, male to female, or, like, female to male. That idea of transgenderism, I feel like middle-class people can't understand, as opposed to, like, me being a guy, a 23-year-old man, being a man, and then being attracted to other men, while I like being a man myself, right? So that is very confusing for people here. So yeah, I'd say being lesbianism and transgenderism is a little easier for people here to understand as opposed to homosexuality.
Karma, through your Facebook page and your other work, you've started the process for Bhutan to recognise that it does have an LGBT community. What do you hope for the future?
For the future, all I hope, and this has been my main aim, like, since the very first beginning, because the whole idea with this Facebook page is not to be political, to not like, go and fight for our rights or anything, because I feel like in Bhutan, we are so lucky to be born in Bhutan. Our government is amazing. Like, we do not face any kind of discrimination or, like, hate crimes or anything up front. So what I would really love for a kid to grow up, be gay, and then not feel alienated, you know? Not feel out of society. Not feel that he does not belong here. Just feel accepted. Accepted as in just feel like he belongs in Bhutan. Even as he's growing up, I just don't want a person to have to, like, go the distance of, like, coming out, you know? Like, saying, like, hey, you know what? I'm actually this, you know? Like, I just feel like if a person is this, he doesn't really need to, like, come out. Just be able to build a society where, like, oh, you're gay, you're straight, doesn't matter.
Karma from LGBT Bhutan, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me up there.
And we just send this massive group hug across to Karma. For such a young guy to not only be courageous enough to start the group and speak up and be the lone person and do it so confidently, fantastic. I do really have positive hopes for change in Bhutan.
Totally. Yeah, he's so enthusiastic and upbeat. And officially, Bhutan is the 8th happiest country in the world.
Right.
And the happiest country in Asia.
Yeah. And they've got a really, really young king who's a little bit of a hottie. I'm not sure we can say that without offending
quite
people.
He's quite good looking.
Yeah. He's a bit, you know, Neo, you know, Keanu from The Matrix.
Yeah, and he's like 25.
Yeah, he's 25. And so if you want to see a photo of him looking all chiselled and smouldering, then go to our Facebook page, W3Joy. If you're into that sort of thing,
which we say with the greatest respect Bhutan king and queen.
Aside from the beauty, the fact that there is a young person in a position of authority and power might bode well for change. You are on Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
A big thank you and congratulations to Karma Dupchen, LGBT Bhutan. Search it on Facebook, send him a message, tell him what a great job he's doing.
Our Facebook page got lots of messages this week. Rodney, Sonia, Kim, thank you, Cody. And heaps more, that's on W3Joy on Facebook.
And all those lovely SMS and emails. And the lovely Gordon, as always, from the front desk.
And next week, we're doing Gay Cowboys.
We are
speaking to a representative from the World Gay Rodeo Finals, or Rodeo Finals, depending on how you want to say it.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.